My greatest joy would be to be an encourager for someone who God would use in a greater way than He uses me. My joy is that I can fan some the fire and encourage you. And God would use you in such a great way. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about the glory of God. And would to God that we will never forget that. Would to God we will never forget this lesson of Barnabas, that he was not about prominence. He was about the people of God. Amen.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In the first part of his message on the power of encouragement that we heard last week, Pastor Grant introduced to us a man in the early church whose name was Barnabas. This name was given to this man by the disciples because it so typified his character. Citing some lessons learned from what the scriptures have to say about Barnabas, Pastor Brian stressed to us how important it is for believers to become encouragers rather than discouragers. In this week's message, Pastor Grant picks up the message line again as he profiles what an encourager actually looks like in practice. Again, the main text is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 11. Turn there with us now, if you have your Bible, as Pastor Brian Grant continues in this second part of his message entitled, The Power of Encouragement. Here now is Pastor Grant.
The profile of an encourager, number one, they have a generous spirit. Number two, they reach out to outsiders. Number three, they are interested in people, not prominence. So here we are at today's story in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 19 to 24. And it tells us there, verse number 19, those who had been scattered by the persecution. You remember last week we discussed the whole issue of the Gentiles coming into the church. And suddenly, these verses in chapter 11 are describing for us what's happening. The Jews are spreading all over, but nobody is telling any Gentile the gospel. But once word got through that Peter had now indicated that Gentiles, God always had a plan for Gentiles, suddenly in this place called Antioch, they're now willing to share the gospel with the Greeks. And the Greeks, the Gentiles, are getting saved like crazy. Amen. And so they send Barnabas. Who better to send than Mr. Encourager? Isn't that interesting? He's not one of the apostles, but he's Mr. Encourager. So they send Mr. Encourager because they know. You see, Barnabas would be the one. Barnabas patiently discipled the young believers. They knew that's exactly what he would do. He would be patient with these babes. Remember now, these are Greeks. Mr. Barnabas is a Jew. These guys are from a different cultural background, but they could depend on Barnabas to encourage these young converts. You know, babies require patience. You ever tried potty training at baby? Babies require patience. Spiritual babies, new babes in Christ, requires patience. And we have got to encourage and disciple them gently and tenderly, allowing them to slip up sometimes. Barnabas not only patiently discipled these young believers, but Barnabas did not seek prominence. And I don't want you to miss this. Look what happens here in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus. Remember, a few minutes ago, we left Paul in Tarsus, right? Saul had fallen off the spiritual map. Nobody knew a thing about Saul. He was just left in Tarsus. And suddenly we find in verse 25 of Acts chapter 11, Barnabas, he goes to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, looks like he had to do a little searching to find him. He was off the map. He brought him to Antioch. No, don't miss this. Barnabas was overseeing a large church that was growing rapidly. Brother Merv read for us, and it made it clear that the church was growing rapidly. People were getting saved through the gazoo. This was a large church. Barnabas goes and he goes to find Saul. Now, Barnabas had heard Saul, and Barnabas knew that Saul was a more powerful preacher than he was, but that did not deter him. Barnabas realized that Saul would be good for these young believers, and that was all that mattered to Barnabas. Barnabas knew Saul was exactly what these young babes needed, and he went to Tarsus and he brings Saul to Antioch. Barnabas was right, because I don't want you to miss it. Something historic happened at Antioch. The first place the disciples were called Christians was at Antioch. Just imagine, we've went through all the book of the Acts so far, and we see the incredible movement of the Spirit of God, all that God is doing. And the first time any ungodly, is the unbeliever who calls them Christians. The unbelievers saw what was going on at Antioch, how that the Christians were modeling Christ. They were like Christ. And so the unsaved people said, these are Christians. They are followers of Christ. They are Christ's ones. This was not a Jewish congregation. It was a Gentile congregation. That was the first congregation to be called Christians. Why? Because of the discipleship of Barnabas and Saul. Because Barnabas did not look for plaudits. He was about God's business. Let me just pause 1 second and say something here. You know, the church at Antioch, one of the things that I thought was amazing about this church is it demonstrates the power of the pew. I'm going to call it the power of the pew. You say, Brother Brian, what do you mean by the power of the pew? You know, it's interesting that this church at Antioch was not started by an apostle. You read that in chapter 11, verse number 20. It talks about people being scattered. And it says, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks. It doesn't even tell us who they were. Do you realize that? This church was started by Mr. and Miss No Name. I don't want you to miss that, because sometimes we miss the importance of how the impact our ministry can have. Listen, this was no apostle. This was just some Christian who decided to go and share the gospel with a Greek person. And one got saved, and two got saved. And the next thing you know, thousands of people are being saved, until finally, for the first time, the disciples are called Christians. And it all started by Mr. and Miss No Name. Oh, I hope God will challenge each of us this morning to get involved, to share this message. Now, Barnabas was not looking for plaudits. He was about God's business. And do you know, my friend, very soon you would find it was no more Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas is pastoring an expanding, successful church. Barnabas goes to find Saul because he thinks Saul is the right person to disciple, to help him disciple these people. And very soon, by the time you get to chapter 13, verse 42, the Bible no more talks about Barnabas and Saul, it talks about Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas knew that the step he was taking would result in him having to take a back seat to Paul. I find that sometimes that is one of the big challenges in churches and other organizations. Everybody has to be the one. Brothers and sisters, would to God that we would have the mind of Barnabas. A mind that says, I am so about God's business that it doesn't matter if I'm not noticed. It doesn't matter if I'm not getting the plaudits. What matters is that God gets the glory. Somebody say amen. Somehow that has got to grab a hold of us. The real success stories in life are people who can rejoice in the successes of others. And I want you to know, my greatest joy would be to be an encourager for someone who God would use in a greater way than he uses me. My joy is that I can fan some the fire and encourage you. And God would use you in such a great way. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about the glory of God. And would to God that we will never forget that. Would to God we will never forget this lesson of Barnabas, that he was not about prominence. He was about the people of God. Amen? But fourthly, encouragers, don't give up on people easily. They don't give up on people easily. Turn in your Bible to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse number 4. I'm going to pick up on verse number 2 for sake of context. This is the same church of Antioch. By the way, do you realize? Or we'll soon get there. In a few weeks, we'll arrive at chapter 13 and we'll realize that this little church started by some little sister or brother on the pew now has grown to be this power, and this becomes the first church to launch global missions. Global missions is not launched by the church in Jerusalem. It's launched by these Gentiles in this place called Antioch. I better, since I said it, I may as well read from verse 1. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with the Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And we'll talk about that and see what an incredibly diverse bunch of people they had there. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate from me Barnabas and Saul." Barnabas is still first right now, okay? By the end of the chapter, Barnabas is taking a back seat. "Separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Verse number 4, which I think is the verse, "The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues." John was with them as their helper. By the way, for those of you who want to know, and we'll have to get there, this John is John Mark. This is John Mark, okay? John Mark was with them. So they left and they took with them this young man named John Mark. But look at verse number 13. Look at verse 13, same chapter. "From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John Mark left them to return to Jerusalem." So here they are. They start off, Barnabas and Saul. They start off with John Mark. So guess what happens now? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. Sometime later, verse 36 in Acts 15. "Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. And I am thanking God for a man like Barnabas who gave John Mark a second chance." Let me ask you this. Do you realize without this discipleship of Barnabas, we would not have had the Gospel of Mark? The Gospel of Mark is written by John Mark after he comes under the discipling influence and the encouragement of Barnabas, who was not willing to give up on him because he had messed up. Eventually, Paul would be reconciled to him and would recognize his spiritual development when in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he says, "Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in the ministry." Listen, even Paul eventually realized he had made a mistake, that Mark is now helpful to him in the ministry. And I thank God for people who will not give up. Somebody has messed up. They went the wrong way. And sometimes, and I'll be honest, sometimes we as Christians are so tough. We are finished with you. But that's not my Bible. If God is not finished with you, we cannot be finished with you. And we are here to encourage that person. Oh yes, they may have disappointed. They may have done things that we know that may be wrong according to the word of God. But we will keep encouraging. And I wonder, my friend, as you sit in God's house this morning, is there somebody in your life that you need to give a second chance? Perhaps a family member who has strayed, a family member who has messed up and you have written off. Can you give them a second chance? Would you ask God to help you give them a second chance? Perhaps it's somebody in Sunday school who has disappointed you. Somebody you have poured your heart and your life into and they have disappointed. Can you give them a second chance? Encouragers, do not give up on people easily.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I know I'm giving you a whole lot in one go. We could expand on each of these some more. Encouragers, some encouragers, not every encourager, but some encouragers have the ability to spot potential and then encourage its development. Do you realize without Barnabas, you wouldn't have more than half of the New Testament would be missing, humanly speaking. Do you realize that? He said, Brother Brian, where were you coming from? Isn't it interesting that some of you coming into church this morning never even heard about Barnabas? You didn't even know much about him. Now you're finding out that more than half of the New Testament is a direct result of Barnabas. Why? Just because of one thing. Because he was an encourager. And so this is one of the reasons I believe God actually pulls it out and wants us to realize this whole issue, how important this encouragement is, and gives us the profile of an encourager in this man's life story. You said, Brother Brian, how are you telling me that he was responsible for more than half? Well, I told you already he's responsible, Mark. Well, for goodness sake, if he didn't take Paul and bring them to the brethren in Jerusalem, where would Paul be? And then when Paul finds himself in Tarsus, and no, left, if he didn't go get him and say, come with me to Antioch. And then here he is commissioned by the church in Antioch as the lead. And he humbles himself to take the secondary role so that the man who God has called could take the primary role. You know, as I prepared this message, I believe that there are some leaders in this church. There are some budding leaders. There are some future leaders waiting for some encouragers. Some people who might not have come from your background, but who God would have you be the encourager to help them recognize the potential and the possibility that they have in Christ, that what the Spirit of God could do in their life. So I'm going to ask this morning, I wonder, is there somebody that's going to say, God, I want to be one of those encouragers, because I'm realizing encouragers actually develop leaders. So how do you become an encourager? Number one, you have to have the desire. God is going to force you to be one. You know, some of us have developed a negative way of life. And the only way it's going to change, number one, you're going to have to come and say, I really want to be an encourager. You got to desire it. But number two, you've got to seek God's help. God is going to have to help you to break the way you do things. God is going to have to help you. And He will. He will. Let Him know, I want to be an encourager. But third, develop the habit of encouragement. Dr. Clyde Naramore is a retired Christian psychologist. He's almost 100 years old by now, but he's still alive. And Dr. Naramore said that if you practice something daily for 60 days, it will become a habit. Listen, let me say that. If you practice something daily for 60 days, Dr. Naramore says it will become a habit. So I'm only passing on what Dr. Naramore said, but this won't work unless you first desire it and unless you seek God's help. So may I encourage you to make a decision for the next 60 days to, number one, guard against discouraging speech and actions. Watch out for that. Because guess what? If that is your modus operandi, it's going to happen so easily. But guard against it. Guard against it. And when you see that's what you did, fix it. You can fix it first by saying, God, please, I'm sorry I did that. Help me. And if you did something to discourage somebody, go talk to them and say, I'm sorry I said that to you. Guard against discouraging words and actions. Do it for 60 days. Every single day now, you know. No, not once a week. The whole idea, we're trying to develop a habit. And second, encourage someone each day. Can you do that? Can you? You say, oh, I don't know how I would do that. You better believe you can do it. God can help you to do it. Encourage somebody every single day. And I honestly believe if for the next 60 days you actually did that, you will suddenly find that your personality starts to change. So do you want to be an encourager? Hope you will say, God, count me in. But you know, there could be somebody here this morning and you're saying, well, I haven't even gotten started on that road. What about me? You know, I want to give you a word of encouragement from the Word of God. Here's a verse for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, listen good. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, here's a verse of Scripture for you. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. The Word of God says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Do you hear what the encouraging word God has? He's saying it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how red your sins are. He says, come. Come now. He says, come now. If you come now, I promise you, if you come to me now, I promise you, I will make that red, sinful life, I'll make it white as snow. Is there anything, have you ever seen when the snow has fallen before anything falls on it? It's so pristine white. God says, I'll make you white as snow. Clean.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.